We're finishing up with our final sermon in this series on the Sermon on the Mount. So this is number 14. It's probably one of the longest series that I've done. Thankfully, I've made it through, and hopefully, you know, by God's grace, God will again teach us and change us as we hear His word. So let me ask God to help us as we hear His word this morning. Father, we thank you that you are the God who speaks, and you speak clearly through your words that have been written in this book. We pray that you would speak once more to us by your Spirit, through the words that I speak and through the ability to hear that you alone can give. So help us to be changed by it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A few years ago, I received an email from Trend Micro, who was at that time my internet security provider, and they had good news for me. They said I was the winner of an LG 42-inch plasma TV screen, and at that time, it was 5 years ago, so it was pretty new and excellent product, worth $1,500, and I thought, wow, that's great. What awesome news. I was told that I automatically entered that competition because I was a subscriber to Trend Micro. And I can see that the smiles and you know, sarcasm in your face because you're thinking, yeah, good one. Well, we all know, you know, friends who whose accounts have been hacked into, who send us an email saying they're stranded on this remote island called the United Kingdom or in Africa, and they're needing money. They need you to send some money there. Or you would have, you know, seen that the flashy boxes are saying, congratulations, you're the winner, $10,000. Just click here, fill your details, and claim the prize. Well, we're all used to all those promises and offers, aren't we? And every time we get an offer like that, we need to make a choice. We need to decide whether we will accept this offer, whether we'll respond, whether we'll give them our details or our mobile number, as this Trend Micro email asked me for, or whether we'll ignore and maybe press delete. Goodbye. Well, as we come to the end of this series, Jesus says very clearly in this passage, in a number of images, strong images he uses, Jesus also says to us, you've heard my teaching, now you need to decide. Now you need to make a choice, whether you will ignore my teaching, whether you will press delete, or whether you'll respond, whether you'll be changed by what he has to say. And over the last few weeks, if you haven't been around, let me encourage you to look up our Grace Point website. You can look it up at gracepoint.com.au, and we've got our past sermon series there, if you want to catch up. But we're looking here, looking back, Jesus has been teaching us how, firstly, we get into a right relationship with God through a sense of humble and unworthy dependence on God. And being brought into this relationship, Jesus teaches us how we then relate to God as our Father. How our relationship changes so that no longer do we want to see Him as a distant, remote God, but we see Him as our Father whom we want to obey with every part of our life from the bottom of our hearts. And Jesus teaches us to pray to our Father, to put His priorities and His honor first. And it teaches us to be like our Father, to love our enemies, to pray for them, to have integrity in our hearts. And as we put God first, to not be anxious, but to trust that He provides, and to seek first His kingdom. So these are only a few of the ideas that Jesus has been teaching. And now He says, you and I have a choice to make. Will you listen and be radically changed, or will you ignore and delete what He says? And the three images that we'll look at are firstly the wide and the narrow gate, the true and false followers, and thirdly, the image of the wise and foolish builders. And we'll look at each of those very, very briefly and look at how it teaches us the need to respond. So if you look at me in verse 13, beginning of our reading, enter through the narrow gate, Jesus says. Jesus is picturing life as a journey. Life as a journey, and having encountered Jesus, having met Him on the road and heard His teaching, Jesus is saying, now you're at a crossroad. Now you're at a decision point. On the left, there is a gate. It's a wide gate that leads onto a wide road, a multi-laned highway. And there are crowds going through that gate. They're flocking there. There's a festival atmosphere. They seem to be going somewhere important and valuable. And you're wondering, should I go through that gate? And then there's another gate that's not so obvious. It's a small, narrow gate on the right. And only one person can go through one at a time. And as you look beyond that gate, it leads into a windy road, through rugged terrain, over a mountain, over a snow-capped mountain, and through a storm up ahead. And you notice there's not many who go through that gate. Not many are on that road. But when you look on their faces, they are equally determined. There's a sense of importance about where they are going. And you need to decide, Jesus says. And this is what His exhortation or His challenge is. He says, enter through the narrow gate. Walk along the road that is least traveled in life. Go against your natural intuition. So there's a Chinese saying or Chinese wisdom which says, look into a restaurant, and if there's lots of people there, then there must be great food there, and that's the one you need to choose. And look into another restaurant. There's only one or two people there, and that's a dud restaurant. Don't go in there. That's Chinese wisdom for you in terms of picking the right restaurant. But Jesus is saying, go the other way. Make the counter-cultural choice about where you will go in life. Go via the road least traveled. And when Jesus says this, go enter through the narrow gate, Jesus is really using this gate and this road as a metaphor for His own teaching. Jesus is saying, if you follow me, if you listen to my words and obey my words, this is the pathway you are to walk. It'll be a counter-cultural journey. It'll be going against the flow. It'll be the path of rejection, of opposition. It'll be a path of persecution, of being seen as ignorant and arrogant. It'll be the path in which you will deny yourself as you put God and His kingdom and others first. It'll be the path of self-denial. It'll be the path where you live for heavenly treasures, not earthly treasures. Where you live with an eternal perspective, not just a perspective of the next few years or the next few moments in this life. And Jesus says, when you go this way, the more difficult route, it will be the way to life. It will be the way back home. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. So there's a difficult road and the easy road, but what is most important is where these roads take you, the final destination. And the road to destruction is a metaphor of the life that is not only completely lost, but that is completely God-forsaken. The path in which God is not there. See, even in the world that we live in God's world. The Bible teaches that God created the world. We live in His world. We depend on Him. We breathe His air. We drink His water. We eat His food that grows from the ground. And whether we accept it or not, we depend on God. And every good gift we have comes from Him and belongs to Him. But there is a day when God will hold every single person and every one of His people that He created to account. And we will be accountable for how we have responded to who He is and what He has given to us. And to live a life that ignores Him, that ignores the words of Jesus, is to go to that path of destruction, which is the path of ultimate and eternal God-forsakenness. These are the words of Jesus. And He says here, you need to choose the narrow gate or the wide gate. Life and obedience to Him, or ignoring Him and going the easy route. And the default decision, Jesus says here, the default road, the road that we're all already going to along, is actually the broad and easy road. So to make no decision or to sit on the fence is actually to already have rejected. It is already to have ignored the words and the warning of Jesus. And when Jesus says that we're to take the narrow road, and later on He'll say this means to listen to His supreme authority, it is a radical claim about who He is. It's a radical claim about the authority of His words. Let me get you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 10. So in the same book of the Bible, chapter 10, verse 37. Or otherwise, you can just listen as I read, or you can read along with me. This is how Jesus describes His own identity and His own authority. 10 verse 37, Jesus says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it. And whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. See how radical that claim is? Jesus says the most important human relationship in your life is not worthy, or is not any more important, is far less important than your own obedience to me. There's no one and nothing of greater value or greater worth than Himself. In other words, there is actually no greater decision in life than whether or not you listen to His words or whether you ignore his words. There's no greater decision whether it's to choose an investment property or whether it's to choose whether to go out with this person or to get married with this person or whether it's to choose to get this job promotion or this job here in the city or to take one overseas. All of those decisions are nothing compared to the decision that you will make about whether or not you will follow Jesus. And he says, enter through the narrow gate, because that is the way to life. Otherwise, you ignore the thing that is of greatest value, and a thing that is of even greater value than your life itself. If you lose your life, Jesus, for me, you'll gain your life. Because he himself is far bigger than even your life. And as we hear this massive claim, we can, you know, there's a couple of options we can take, or a couple of ways we can think about what Jesus is saying about himself. There's a classic C.S. Lewis options that he gives. Jesus is either the liar, he's either a lunatic, or he's the Lord. He's either a liar, he's a scam artist who just wants to get power for himself, or he's a lunatic, he's self-deluded, or he's the Lord. He's exactly who he claims to be, and that what he says you should choose, you should choose. Otherwise, you are choosing eternal destruction or eternal life. You know, when I received that email, I looked at it and I considered the facts. And the facts were this: I am a Trend Micro. I am a Trend Micro subscriber. They did have my address. There was a competition for the LG plasma TV. And all they asked me to do was to give them a call or to give them my phone number. And that's what I chose to do, because that's what I really want. See, when you get choices like this, you need to consider the facts. And if it's true, and you delete that email, then you lose that opportunity. But if it's not true, then it would be right to ignore it. But what Jesus offers is far more infinite value than an LG TV, which I won, and you haven't seen in my house because I gave it to my mother-in-law at that time. And but God has been gracious in providing another plasma TV as a gift from Evan Park, who when they left. So now we have another one. But the point is what Jesus offers true? And that is what you need to decide. And if it is, then there's only two choices you can make to him. Now, what if we have a positive view of Jesus? What if we think highly of him, and we think he's a great teacher, and he's someone worth listening to, and someone worth following? And whether you're a churchgoer, a regular churchgoer or not, you have a high view of Jesus. The question is, how do you know that you are walking along the narrow road? So maybe you think you've made a choice. How do you know you're actually walking along the narrow road? And assuming you want to be a Christian, how do you know you're a Christian? Or how do you know when you're a Christian? Well, Jesus gives us this answer in verse 21. Look with me. But not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. And there are many, many today who only care about living for tomorrow. Many who are agnostic about whether God exists or not. And part of the agnosticism is the underlying belief that you can't really know, and therefore you just live this life. Hope for the best. Trust that God will be gracious if he actually exists. Then there's atheists who are hardline that God does not exist, and that religion poisons everything, and that it's better not to believe than to believe. Then there are many who believe in God, believe that God exists, believe that they have a relationship with him, and that they're on the right track, and that they'll be, in the end, right with God. And this is the warning Jesus gives to those who are in that third category. Do you believe you're already a follower? How do you know? Because Jesus says here, even the most fervent followers may be deceived. Not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of God. And that repeated expression of his name is a public confession that they were his followers. Jesus says, Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Did we not do great things in your name? Drive out demons, perform many miracles. And Jesus will say, he never knew them. Now, Jesus was saying in the image of the narrow road, the necessity of making a choice. And now in this image of the true and false followers, Jesus is telling us the urgency of knowing the choice that you have made. How do you know? And let me give you four, out of these few words, four actions and behaviors that are no guarantee that you are on the narrow road, whether you're a follower of Jesus. Here are four actions and behaviors that are no guarantee. The first is a public confession of Jesus. To self-identify as a Christian, to declare publicly that you're a Christian, to have the Christian label, is no guarantee that Jesus knows you. That's what he's saying. The second action that's no guarantee is regular attendance or regular hearing of his teaching. Regular attendance at church does not make you a Christian. See, these people were in the audience. They heard his teaching. They claimed to be his followers. They probably went to church often. They were passionate and confident about themselves. They were hearers who may even have loved, enjoyed listening to his teaching, because it was so radically different. But Jesus said, that is no guarantee. The third, related to regular attendance, is interest in the Bible, interest in learning, interest in theology. Attending Bible studies is no guarantee. And the four that probably may be most surprising for us when we think about how we view who is or is not a Christian. The fourth action is doing great things for God. You're someone who does great things for God. whether it's miracles, whether it's teaching, whether it's charity, whether it's serving at church, leading a Bible study. Jesus says, these are not sure or guaranteed indicators that you are a true follower. And so what is a true indicator according to Jesus? Here he says it in verse 21. But only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. He's not just hearers only, but doers of his word. A truer indicator is someone who's been transformed and changed by the words, by the life and the words of Jesus. Someone who not only wants the benefits of being a Christian, the security and comfort, not even one who wants heaven itself, but someone who wants God, who recognizes Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. Who not only wants him, but who wants to grow more to be like him. Who lives by every word that comes from the mouth of Jesus. And so it's important to know what choice we have made, because at the end of the day, or at the end of our lives, the most chilling words that we will ever hear will be these words: away from me, I never knew you. Away from me. And what we need to understand, you know, what Jesus is telling us is that the God of the Bible is not an impersonal force. He's not a distant, indifferent God who's indifferent to the way we live or to the way we relate to him. He's a God who is our Father in heaven, who designed us to have an intimate relationship with him, and who will ultimately hold each person accountable for how we have lived. And until Jesus comes again, the Bible says that God is patient with us, not wanting anyone to be destroyed, but for everyone to turn to him, to come into a relationship with him, to hear his words, to walk in his steps, to live like him. So it's a call for us to follow, because God wants us to know him. So know the necessity of the choice that we need to make, the urgency of knowing the choice we have made. And thirdly, know who it is that builds on a rock-solid, eternal foundation. In verse 24, Jesus says, the wise person is the one who builds his life on every word that comes from the mouth of Jesus. Verse 24, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Again, hear his claim. He is the expert builder. He is the expert designer. And it's a unique claim about himself. It's an offensive claim to those who live in a pluralist society. It's one that we submit ourselves to, not because we believe that we are better than anyone else or know any better, but because we trust in the words of Jesus. In another part of the Bible, John chapter 14, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It has come to me. Through me you will find the way. Through me you will find the truth. Through me you will find life itself. But what he says afterwards is, It is the offensive part in our world, and it's this: for no one comes to the Father but by me. No one comes to the Father but by me. And so each of us again will need to decide, is he a liar? Is he a lunatic? Or is he exactly who he claimed to be? Is he a radical cult figure who brings their followers onto a ranch, abuses them, and ends up in a mass suicide like Jim Jones or David Koresh? Or is he, or are his words the words on which we will be able to build an eternal foundation for this life and for the life to come? The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. The rain, the streams, the winds are all images of the trials of life that we will face, the disappointments, the suffering, the opposition. And at the end of it, death itself. And when we face all of these things in life, on what will we stand? We stand firm on the rock solid foundation of his words. Because we've walked along the narrow but sure road. Or will we fall into sinking sand along the broad road that leads away from God? Jesus says there is a choice you have to make. Choose, if you are wise, to live by every word that comes from his mouth, with him as your supreme commander, as your chief. Or otherwise, if you see him as an optional extra, then not at all. It'll be really a life of self-deception. But when he calls us to come to him, we know from the beginning of this Sermon on the Mount that it is those who are poor in spirit, those who recognize their utter unworthiness before God, that receive God's blessing. That those who recognize our utter dependence on God's forgiveness and mercy, that God receives and adopts into his family. And so we come to him not because we are worthy, but because we are unworthy. And we need a foundation that is more solid than ourselves or than this world around us. And he offers us this path. He offers to unworthy sinners like you and I to follow him. It's a bit like, you know, a guy who lacks confidence, who has no dress sense, who never does well, who never gets into any of the good sports teams, who's a loner. And yet when he ends up getting a dead-end job. And yet, for some reason, he meets this girl, a successful, attractive girl, who is willing to date him and wants to marry him. And even though he's unworthy, it is a complete mismatch. He marries this girl and he is transformed. Doesn't mean he believes necessarily that he is worthy of that relationship. but that now he wants to live a life that wants to serve that girl who is now his wife. And that's what it's like, really, for those of us who are Christians. Or those of us who choose to respond to God's offer of an eternal relationship with him. We come to him not because we are deserving or that we're better than anyone else. But we receive his love, his surprising act of grace to choose any of us. And he calls us to follow him. And when we follow him out of a heart of gratitude and love and respect and obedience. And when we come into that relationship, Jesus says, you are like the wise man who's built your house on the rock. And whether in this life or in death or in the life after, you have an eternal security because you now belong in the house of God. And you've lived and followed the only one who matters in the end. Let me finish with three words of application. Number one, know where you stand. Jesus says to us, there is a choice to be made. All of us are always at a crossroad in our life. And there is always a wide gate and a broad road and an easy road. Or there is a narrow gate and a small and narrow road. And we need to know, Jesus, it is of utmost importance to know where you stand. Know what these gates represent, but know even more important, where you stand. Do you know you're a follower of his, or do you not know? And if you are not, that's okay. It's better to know than to be self-deceived, Jesus says. Second, don't delay. If you are someone who's interested in what Jesus is saying, interested in finding out more, then that's a wonderful thing. And I want to encourage you to keep pursuing and searching, knowing what questions you have, making it a priority to know him before you make that personal decision that you need to make. But the issue is that we should not delay. See, there's no more important priority than the decision we need to make. And if we say that there are other priorities in my life right now, and that may be true for you, then are you saying that there will be a time when he'll be a greater priority in your life? Because if you do, then you haven't even understood who he is in the first place. How do you know later on that he will be a greater priority in your life? And when he is, how do you know that you're actually following him? Because if you look back, you'll realize that he was always the greatest thing and the greatest decision you needed to make above your own family, above your own personal health or financial security. Because to delay now is really to be self-deceived about the importance of this decision that Jesus is calling you and I to make. And even today, there is no guarantee about tomorrow, is there? Who is it that controls or determines your life? Who is it that controls or determines the future of your family? When will the storms strike in your life? When will God call you and I to account? Jesus says, enter through the narrow gate, or else you may miss it altogether. And this is a choice, you know, as I've talked to you, it's not one that we make ultimately in our own power, in our own strength. We do it in the context of understanding the Bible, asking our questions in community of other mature Christians. But ultimately, it's about asking God to help us. That if God is real, if His words are real, if Jesus is who He claims to be, then the question I need to be, the action I need to be making is to ask God. God, if you're real, make yourself real in my life. Show yourself to me. Show me the questions that I need to have answered in my life before I can truly follow. Show me how important this decision is. And help me, if it is true, to believe. So don't delay. I mean, it is such an urgent and important decision that to delay is to put us in eternal danger. The third point of application is to those who already know themselves to be people who live by the words of Jesus. And the word is this: be transformed. Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. That is, know that you're on the narrow road. Know that you're on the road that is countercultural. Know that following Jesus, growing to be like Him, will be a point of turning your back on your world and on your culture and on your own natural desires. It'll be the road of opposition and of suffering and of discipline, of self-denial, of sacrifice, of self-giving love towards others, of putting God first above yourself. It'll be a difficult road. Jesus says, whoever wants to follow me must take up his cross and follow me. In other words, it's not an easy decision that Jesus is calling us to make. But such is the infinite value of that treasure and that destination that it is worth giving up everything to follow him. And so continue to be transformed. Continue to be whom God has called you to be as a child and a servant of God. Be salt. Be the light of the world. Commit yourself to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. As we've had so many sermons on these last passages, the question to ask is, and to reflect is, how has God changed me? How has God spoken to me over the last few weeks? How have the words of Jesus impacted and transformed my life? Because if it has made no difference whatsoever, then we are just like the person who says, Lord, Lord, but never did what Jesus said. And we are worse when we are self-deceived. So Jesus says, be like the wise man. He not only hears his word, but puts it into practice. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for your words. Only with your help can we truly understand and believe and apply. Lord, we pray that you help us by your Spirit to be your true followers, to seek you now, to obey you now, for the rest of our lives. So that we might live lives that are worthy of you, that bring you glory and honor in this world, and that presents the same light of your goodness and your truth to those around us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.